Hey guys, different episode today. Normally we do not have a guest on this show. It's just me picking one topic and just going off on a rant about it for 15 to 40 minutes. Today we're going to have about a 50-minute show, but it's going to be more than just me. We're going to be doing something, I don't know how often, maybe once a month, maybe once every 5 to 6 weeks. We're going to highlight LCSs or shops around the country. And we're doing our first edition today. It's the card shop at Moco. They're in New Buffalo, Michigan. It's Rex, the dad. Max and Owen, his two sons, have a store and together. And it's an awesome thing. Great group of gentlemen. And wanted to highlight what they're doing. And as a former store owner, like I said, from 92 to the 97 or something around those years. Very important to me. Card shops are making a comeback. I'm glad to see that. I think it's important that socialization, to walk in and be able to chat about sports, chat about the hobby, have stuff in hand, whether it's a wax pack, a box, or a single card. And there's something to that that I love. You know, you get that at the card show, which are also important to me. But, you know, card shows aren't always every day where a card store is. And so this week we're going to have Rex, Max, and Owen on. We hope you enjoy this, and it's something we're probably going to do every so often. So with that being said, enjoy the show. All right. Hello, everyone. It's John Newman from Sports Card Nation and our shorter show, which is Hobby Quick Hits. That's what this show is going to be about. I'm happy to be joined by Rex, Max, and Owen Gotcha in Michigan and their card store, the Sports Card Shop at Moco. And we're going to talk a little bit about their journey, how they got to where they are now. But you know, it's something we want to do on this program, not every week necessarily, but every maybe once a month, once every, you know, 5-6 weeks, is talk about LCSs. They have a soft place in my heart as a former owner, and I think there's something about going into an actual card store and the socialization, talking to people who share that same passion you do, having a card or a pack or a box in your hand and not have to just always go to the mailbox. There's nothing wrong with that either. We all do that as well. But card shops are very important. They're making a comeback, I'm happy to say. We're going to talk about one of those today. So I want to welcome to the show Rex, Max, and Owen. Gotcha. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thanks for having me. All right. So, you're welcome. Thanks for giving us some of your time, and on a Saturday too. So, I'll start with you, Rex. Like, you know, talk about how you got into cards. Is it the traditional, started when you were a kid, then you kind of leave and then you come back, or is it, you know, I'll let you speak to that, but.
Yeah, in many ways, yeah. I was born in 1964. So my father was in the Air Force when I was very young. My brother and I were very young. So he used to bring back baseball cards when he would come home from leave. He would bring us baseball cards and Hot Wheels. So those are the things that we collected during that time. And at that age, you know, we were interested in the gum as much as we were interested in the cards.
Yeah.
Cards, we looked through them, you know, we put rubber bands on them, we set them aside, and, you know, sadly to say, like so many, you know, with similar stories, I have no idea where they are now. No idea what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know, we lost interest at some point. I stopped collecting cards, you know, when I was right around 12 or 13, maybe, and I moved to beer cans. I had a massive beer can collection with one of my friends. And then once I discovered girls, you know, we got rid of that too. So, I didn't really collect as an adult. And a couple of years ago, almost 3 years ago now, Owen, you know, showed an interest in collecting cards, started, you know, buying cards and so forth. And, you know, so I started taking him to shows. Max, you know, followed along, and we started seeing what was going on. We went to some shops, we went to some shows, and we saw what was going on in the market. And, that, you know, sort of, you know, re-sparked my interest in it, and both from a collector and a business standpoint.
So I like this, Rex. It's kind of like the sort of reverse. A lot of times you hear like the father gets a grandfather, a father gets a son or daughter into the hobby. You're saying like you were in the hobby, but it was kind of your son, you know, Owen got you back in a sense. I love that. I honestly love it either way, but you know, that's sort of a little bit of a different a spin on the traditionally what you hear. You and bet. That's a wonderful thing. And so, you know, here you guys are. Let me ask you this before we get into the store stuff. Max Owen, like you're in Michigan. What are your favorite sports or favorite players? Who do you PC, that sort of thing?
My favorite sport is probably baseball to watch, but basketball to play. My favorite players are Russell Westbrook, Derek Jeter, and that's pretty much it.
All right, Derek Jeter from Michigan, by the way, for those that may not be familiar with that. Owen, how about yourself?
Well, my favorite sport to play and watch is baseball, and my favorite team is the Cubs, and my favorite player on the Cubs is Rizzo.
Okay. All right, how about that? Dad, now that you're back, Rex, like, do you have someone you collect or you're fond of? Or
Frankly, I mean, I like the vintage stuff. So, you know, Hank Aaron, Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
One of the reasons Mickey Mantle is, you know, someone that I like a lot is because I was born in Oklahoma. We moved around a lot, but, you know, Oklahoma doesn't have a baseball team. They don't have a football team. Of course, they don't have a basketball team, but they didn't at that time either. So we tend to root for, you know, players as opposed to teams. And my dad, you know, was a huge Mickey Mantle fan because Mickey was from Oklahoma. And then in the 70s, we rooted a lot for the Big Red Machine because of Johnny Bench, who also was from Oklahoma. And we tended to latch on teams that way. So the two baseball, I'd say probably Mantle and Bench are the two players that I, you know, really love their cards. And of course, I, you know, going back to the, like I said, I'm sure there were some Mantles and Benches and that's, you know, stacks of stuff that my dad brought back that he just let go. So I'm sure of it.
Yeah, I'm a New York City kid. I was a Yankee fan as a young boy. And then I kind of, you know, that's a show in itself. Steinbrenner start messing around with stuff. And I kind of exited stage left. But Mickey Mantle, even though he retired, you know, before I could watch him play, just being from New York, he's just a legend. And the one thing I take from Mickey, you know, he had his issues, but he made a point even after his career was over to try to help other people, using himself as an example. Hey, don't always, you know, as great of a ball player as I was, I'm human and I made some mistakes, and don't make the same ones. And I admired him for that. He did a Bob Costas interview. It's out there. It's on YouTube. If you get a chance, it's one of the, honestly, I've seen a lot of interviews, especially in the sports side of things. It's one of the greatest interviews I've ever seen. Very full of humility and very emotional. And it really, I remember watching that as a younger man and like just really hit me how humble and how he, you know, he just put himself out there and said, hey, don't do everything I did. It's not good. And my life's probably going to be shorter as a result of it. And I don't want that to be you. And it's one thing to think that, but to do that on national television is a whole another thing. And so that's a show again in itself too. So here we are. You have a card. So where in Michigan is the sports card shop?
We're in a small town called New Buffalo, Michigan. It's primarily a resort town. We're right on Lake Michigan. We've got a really nice beach here. So during the summer, it's a very busy place. You know, there's a casino nearby. There's a lot of wineries and, you know, microbreweries, things like that. So it's a very popular destination for people from Chicago area and Illinois. And then also, of course, you know, all around Michigan. We're about an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes away from Chicago.
Yeah. How long is from your home? How long is your commute to the store?
Less than 5 minutes. We live in New Buffalo, so we live right in downtown New Buffalo.
Okay. All right. That's cool. That's cool. So let's get to that, guys. Max, Owen, Rex. When did that light bulb kind of go off? And you know, whose idea? I guess you know. There's three of you. You know, who takes credit for like hatching the idea first?
Well, I said, Owen started it all with his, you know, collecting, and so he started collecting, and so we started, you know, going to, like I said, the card shows, and then even some. I think the first cards we might have ever bought were from a garage sale. And speaking of Mickey Mantle, at that time we passed on some very good deals of Mickey Mantle memorabilia because we didn't really know much about it. So you know, we wished we'd had that chance back again. But I, you know, we started getting into it, and that, you know, I started looking at the players, and you know, with Owen, and he was asking me who's a good player, who's not, and I wasn't really up on, you know, values or anything like that. I just, you know, this guy's a Hall of Famer, this guy's all. So you know, we would talk about their careers, we would look them up, and then you know, Max started collecting as well, and you know, we started looking at the basketball cards, and we saw how hot that was, and. At a certain point, you know, we've started getting a lot of cards. And I said, well, you know, if you guys are serious about doing this, we should, you know, open an eBay store. So we did that, you know, I guess a little over a year ago. And it was pretty successful. So they were selling a lot of cards. So the idea was to help them learn about entrepreneurship, about customer service, and about how to run a business. And that's how it started. I've been in the retail business my entire career in different types of retail, and I still am. We own a different type of retail business here in New Buffalo as well, not associated with cards, but that's where MOCO comes from. MOCO stands for Max Owen Company. So they have no interest in that other business, which is flooring, but they're very interested in this one. So they're able to learn about, you know, how to run a business through this experience. And, you know, when the eBay store became successful, I said, you know, we should probably see if we can start getting serious and start getting some new stuff. So we connected with a supplier. We were able to start getting some minimal allocations, you know, recently, but we're starting to build those up and get a little bit more. And I said, well, we have some retail space that we can reconfigure and remodel and do a dedicated card shop. So right around the time the pandemic started, that's when we really started putting this together. And here we are.
Well, congratulations. I'm happy to see you. And I love that, Rex, because, you know, like you said, you hit it right on the head. You Max and Owen are going to learn, you know, when it comes to store, you're going to learn math, you're going to learn business, a little science mixed in there. It's an education in itself, and at that age, I mean, how many kids, you know, I wish there was something where all kids could really kind of learn on that level. I mean, it's not always the case. And so Max and Owen are going to be that far ahead of the curve getting to do it. This, and you never know, maybe they get older, they're like flooring too. Maybe you'll have some baseball card tiles.
Not a chance. But
it's great that they're going to learn. You know, I did my first show with a sales tax number at 15, so I was a little bit older. But I collected, started in the hobby at 7, but not on the business side to 15. But I think it did wonders for me as far as learning how life is, not just business, but life is. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But it's what you do either and after each of those cases that determine ultimately, you know, how successful you're going to be. You know, there's a saying, you don't lose, you win or you learn. There's no losing. Yeah. And I believe that I don't know who said that. I should try to give him credit, but it's something I really believe in. You win and you learn. There's no losing because you're doing something and you're being productive and you found a passion and you enjoy what you do. And so hopefully there's more winning and some learning, but more winning than learning. But so, I mean, you know, you mentioned the pandemic. It's funny when you hear pandemic and you think of business, you think a lot of bit about other type of businesses, you know, restaurants and different things like that are sort of taking it on the chin with being sort of relied on like walk-in business. But as we know, all four of us know, and those out there listening, the Hobbies had one of its best years during one of the world's worst years, if I may be so dramatic. And I've said this on my show, guys, if you would have told me that when this thing first started, I would have argued and been wrong. And I'm happy to be wrong hobby-wise. And it's been incredible. How's it been? I know, you know, how many months, what's it, a month? How long have you been with the card store at this point?
We've been selling cards, you know, not in the space as it exists now, but we've been selling, you know, cards from the space, you know, for over a year, but mm-hmm. mostly singles and things like that. But the remodel was completed in October, and we opened this space as you see it now in the first week of October. And it's, you know, we've been steady. It hasn't detracted though from our online sales. You know, we haven't really been as active listing on eBay as we were, you know, prior, because we've been so busy getting the store, you know, set up and doing what we're doing. But we're continuing to sell through that platform. We've also been recently approved to sell on MySlabs, which will, you know, we don't really have any slabs or wax to speak of listed on eBay. But I think MySlabs looks like a great vehicle to do that. But one of the things that we've, you know, that makes it work for us is that, you know, we all have our strengths. You know, for example, you know, like I said, I've been in retail business my entire career, so I know retail pretty well. Max has become quite an expert on checklists and things. He knows what's in sets, you know, more than, you know, most collectors his age could even dream of. You know, I pull a card out, you know, today I said something about an orange, or he said, hey, there's this Origins card. It was a Kawhi Leonard Origins card. I didn't know much about it. And he was telling me all about it without having to look it up. He was telling me all about the card. And he does that just, you know, easily. You know, and Owen is the deal master. He's got the patience to look through cards, find cards, look through deals, you know, take the time at garage sales, flea markets, all that other stuff, card shows, to find the good deals. We just before we came on, we sold a really huge deal, probably over 40,000 cards that we literally wrapped up about 15 minutes before we came on. Mostly commons, you know, some other stuff in there too. It was a huge deal for a guy that, you know, has a vehicle to sell, you know, that kind of stuff. So he literally just took a truckload of cards out of here. But before he did, you know, we had this one bin of football cards that we didn't really look through. And so Owen said, no, let's look through these. Let's not sell these. And of course, you know, he comes up with a Josh Allen rated rookie, a couple Baker Mayfield rated rookies, a Deshaun Watson. So, you know, he was digging through the boxes. He found all these things, and it was a good thing he did, because we probably would have let him go. But
yeah, you never know what you can find, you know. What I do, guys, too, when I don't open as much product as I once did, but even now when I open stuff, any rookies, I pull them out, I sleeve them, even if they're unheralded, maybe not expected to have super duper careers, but I'll put them in a sleeve, and then I put them in monster boxes in alphabetical order. When I say alphabetical order, not exact, I'll put the A guys with A's for last names in the A's, B's for last names in the B's. And that way, if later on something changes and they kind of become a budding superstar, rather than have to look through, you know, 20,000, 30,000 cards to find the 5 or 10 cards I might have, I can go just to those letters, just to that, you know, 200 cards and find those 5 cards. I'm all about, if you listen to the show, you know, I'm all about being economical with my time, and even more so the older I get. And so, but those stories, you know, those little things you do, and you'll learn even with the store, you'll try something and you'll like something else better, Or you'll pivot to different things, and you know three heads are and three smart heads are going to be obviously in most cases better than one, and so you know it's going to be fun. I'm going to obviously follow you guys if I get hopefully maybe get to Michigan, seeing a person. I've seen the pics. The store looks tremendous. Kudos on the setup, and how fun is that to do? A business with your boys and them with their dad. Obviously, it's a two-way street. And, I get asked all the time, people know I've had a store. Hey, would you ever do a store again, John? And, the answer to that, it's tough. Syracuse is not an ideal market right now, but you never know. But we're only an hour from Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame, and me and my son will sometimes just toss the idea around, kind of half joking, half serious. Maybe we'll do a store in Cooperstown and together type of deal. And, sure. I always say if what's going to happen, that would probably be the way it happened. Buy a storefront business with like a residence above it. And maybe, it's only an hour, maybe just commute or stay there a few days here and there and that. That's sort of something down the line, but something, with my son who's older, but still, it'd still be a fun thing to maybe eventually do. And so, guys, I can't stress this enough, have fun with it. Man, so many kids don't get to do those things with their dad, and dad, obviously, to experience that with both your kids is, I'm a little jealous, I'm not gonna lie to you. So what's been, you mentioned a little bit, you touched on it, Rex, with wax. Have you found it difficult to get, wax right now, as soon as it hits the shelf, whether it be Walmart, Target, or from distributors, it's really a hard get. Are you running into those difficulties on the store level as well?
Yeah, I mean, as with anything, John, if you got the money, there you can get it, but it's just a matter of where you can get it and make a profit or not. Wax, both at the retail level and the wholesale. I mean, and wholesale is really where we want to be. We can never get enough of it. As I said, our allocations aren't as huge as some of the other shops that have been around for years or the breakers. We did apply to for some direct accounts. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll get some of those and we'll be able to get some cases here and there, but we're slowly building it up. As you know how to build up allocations, you have to buy, other things from the distributor in order to, sort of get on the list to be able to get allocated the good stuff. And we've been doing that. And that's really the stuff that's been selling the best are the hobby boxes. Not so much a hockey here, we sold some hockey here and there, but mostly the three other major sports have been really hot with the hobby boxes. And then even some of the special releases, when we can get those things online. And we've got some of the recent stuff coming. A couple of the things that you mentioned on your podcast recently, Topps Chrome Black, we've got some of that coming. We've got some of the Brooklyn collection. We've got some Bowman, the Bowman Chrome X. We've got that came in today. So we're trying to, buy the wax where we see value. Sometimes you got to hold on to that stuff. And the stuff that we bought from distributors very early on, we weren't, able to make much of a profit on it. So you got to sort of sit on some of that until like the football prism. We had 2019, prism football. And when we first bought it, there wasn't a lot of profit in it. But as the season drew closer, that price has started escalating and, we started to make money. But yeah, we've been doing that, but we've also, been doing a lot of singles stuff. And now that we've gotten a steady stream of graded cards coming in, that's a huge opportunity again for us. We see on MySlabs to start selling graded cards there as well.
Yeah, I'll put you on the spot. Did you, Matt Greeney was just on my show. Matt Greeney's the co-founder. He was on the show a couple of weeks back. I don't know if you got to hear him.
I did.
Yeah. a great sight. You're gonna enjoy it. And you know, I don't want this to be a blast eBay episode, but let's be real. My slab's at 1% seller's commission. You really can't beat that. And I've moved a lot of my graded stuff over from eBay to my slabs, and just a better ROI when you sell it there. Now, we can't argue eBay is the world marketplace of literally everything, not just sports cards. And so you're not going to have as many eyes, but you know, with the way the hobby is now, I've sold a lot of cards on my slab. So even though there's less eyes, it's still booming to the point. I don't think a good card is a good or great card is going to have a demand almost no matter where you put it. So I'll ask Owen, what's been so far since you opened? What's been probably the biggest seller, player wise or product wise?
Football. Probably maybe Patrick Mahomes graded cards, or probably that's probably one of the most hot ones right now.
Yeah. Well, I've always said I'm a big football guy with cards, and it's always kind of taken it on the chin. It's not been to me, it's the American, you know, people might get mad at me saying this. It's sort of America's pastime. It's to me, it's replaced baseball with between fantasy football and daily fantasy leagues and just people talking about it at the water cooler. Card wise, it's always sort of lagged behind baseball and basketball. I think that gap is closing now. I think it has the most room to move. I remember buying a lot of football stuff because it was way too cheap. You know, it should be more when you compare it to the other sports. And so I think you're gonna see an uptick in football. Apparently, you've started to see that in the store. So I'll ask Max this, you know, same question to you. What's been the biggest seller or item in demand? What do you get asked for a lot?
What's probably football. Like Owen said, there's been a real spike. The reason I think it took so long is because the market was so heavily on quarterbacks and not like more like the widespread tight ends, running backs, receivers. But now that's kind of the market's kind of going up with that. So I feel like that's why there's been such a boost recently.
Yeah, and you make a great point. Quarterbacks are always going to be like the first in demand position wise. Their careers are usually longer, good ones anyway. Running backs have that shorter lifespan, 5 to 7 years. But I think we're seeing, you know, I'll piggyback off what you said, Max, you know, wide receivers are playing a lot longer now. You see guys, they're starting to get into those double digit years career. So I think it's going to go quarterback, receivers. There's a lot of receivers still that are undervalued. I'm a guy I love is DeAndre Hopkins. His cards are, go ahead.
So at our second card show, I had this Acuna auto, and I was trying to sell it or trade it. So I went around the whole show, and there's one guy who was the only guy who wanted to trade it. And guess what he traded me? He traded me DeAndre Hopkins rookie auto, a Kobe Bryant rookie, and a Troy Aikman rookie for that Acuna auto.
Acuna. And so Go ahead.
Will always be my favorite.
Yeah, I think you made, without knowing the specific cards, I think you probably made a good deal. You got quantity and quality. I mean, those are all, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, a first ballot to me, going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's still young. People think, you know, because he's played a while that he's old. He's still young. So he, you know, if there's a guy that I look at like Jerry Rice's records that anyone has an outside chance even to really come close, it's probably that's playing now, it's probably DeAndre Hopkins. And no matter where, you know, he's now in Arizona, but it, you know, he's had some pretty bad quarterbacks, yet he still produces. And that's a testament to the skill level that he's on. And so Yeah, he does. He does. I was a little wrong. I wasn't a big Kyler Murray fan guy. Well, you Oklahoma. I didn't think he'd be. And I'm wrong. You know, I'm wrong sometimes or a lot of times. I didn't think he was going to be this good. And I'm glad. I don't root against people or young men. I'm glad I was wrong. It was just my opinion. And he's proven me wrong. And that's a good thing for everyone and in the hobby as well. So I'll ask you another question, Max. I'll put you on the spot. I'm in the store and there's a card I want, but I want to get it a little cheaper. Who do I stand a better chance at getting a deal on, you or your brother? Like, who should I ask?
That's a very good question. me, you would only probably get like a couple cents cheaper. I'm kind of a stickler.
Yeah, that's all right.
Maybe Owen is also kind of a stickler, but it's like a 2 cent difference.
So you're saying ask your dad is what you're saying.
Well, definitely don't ask their mom because she hates negotiating. She didn't want to know anything about negotiating. So
yeah, and that's the beauty. You know, even those transactions like that, guys. I'm joking, obviously, but you know, I'm sure you've run across that already. Hey, can you do? I'm interested. Can you do a little bit better? And it's those things that. Just makes you who you are, and you're going to learn. And yet sometimes, you know, that's the beauty of business is, you know, hey, I got bills too. And I got to be smart here. I can't give the stuff away. So, you know, I just had the episode hasn't run, but this week's episode is a friend of mine who was originally from the New York area. Now he's in Nashville, Tennessee, and he owns he opened a card store called Nash Cards. And you know, we're talking about wax, and he pointed out like the same problems all card stores are having getting it. And he says, you know, sometimes he'll buy the wax and literally sell. He said, John, I'll have to sell it and not even make money, just to have it, just to get someone in through the doors. I'll break even on it, but while they're here, you know, they'll buy something else, hopefully. And so
that's a common retail strategy, not necessarily in the card business, but there are in other industries, they're called loss leaders. I mean,
loss leaders.
Going back to the home improvement, I know a lot of lumber and drywall can be loss leaders. Literally, they'll sell, you know, the big box stores will sell that stuff sometimes at a loss. Because again, they want that business and they want that customer in their doors. So yeah, it's interesting to see that happening in cards.
Yep. All right, guys, we're kind of winding down. I'm going to kind of go around. I'm going to ask you to put your fortune teller hats on. I know we're still in the pandemic. Hopefully this thing, you know, we're hearing stuff about vaccines now. And so hopefully we're going to get on the right side of this thing. Not just for cards, but for schools and other businesses as well. But I'm going to ask you to put your hobby fortune teller hats on. You know, 2020's been incredible in the hobby wise. Each one of you kind of, you know, your predictions for how you see it. We're almost in 2021, basically another month. Do you see this trend continuing? What do you see?
Go ahead, Max.
It's kind of tough because right now, the reason why the market's been going up so much is because everyone's stuck at home. I have a feeling that it's going to go down a tiny bit, the trend, of course, but I think it's still going to be like relatively high because then again, people are going to get back to their in-person jobs and they're not going to have more time for the hobby. But I feel like some people are really going to try and stick with it because they really enjoyed it.
No, great points, Max. I without everyone else going yet, I sort of, if you heard me, I kind of lean the way you sound like me, but more intelligent. So I agree with you. So, Owen?
I think it's going to grow a little bit because now, or if COVID-19, it gets away or there's a vaccine, I think people are going to be open to go to like stores or card shops than they usually are, and they're going to be more safe. And then there's going to be new boxes like every now and then, and people are going to want to collect those and get those cards.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Oh, you make a great point. I said this when I kind of introed you on it. Going and socializing and talking shop at a shop, having packs in your hand and or singles in your hand, there's something about that. That's why card shows are as great as they are. And cards, you know, a card show, you know, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's over, right? Card store, you can Tuesday night. Monday, you know, Monday night, hey, before the Monday night football game, I'm going to get a box of this, whatever. That stuff, we're missing some of that with, like you just said, with the pandemic. And so when we get to that point where we can get back on that level, I think people are going to be really anxious to do so and get to do that and even just have conversations on a firsthand basis. And I think we're losing a little bit of that with the current pandemic. And I think people will be well overdue, like you said, Owen, to get back in that realm. And I know I will, you know, firsthand. And so, and Rex, rather than ask you that, I'll just kind of going back to the store, you know, for 2021, I don't want you to give out any secrets or, you know, I don't know how the competition is, but, you know, any like eventual plans, you know, I know a lot of stores offer breaking or grading submissions or, you know, kind of future plans store-wise that you care to share anyway.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We'd like to get to a point where we do some live breaks because of that interaction. We'd like to be able to do that for clients. So that's definitely on the schedule for the coming year. Grading services also with one caveat. We're not doing it now. We are sending our own cards in for grading.
Yeah.
But we're not doing it for clients. And the only reason is, as everybody knows, they're so backed up. It's very frustrating for a lot of people. So we prefer at this time not to be part of that frustration for them. So as things loosen up and as the new player, you know, comes on the scene, and that they can prove that they can, you know, get a faster turnaround and good quality work, then we'll definitely offer that service for our customers. But I think long term, you know, what I see and, you know, beyond, you know, 2021 and beyond is really this. I think people have started to figure out, a lot of people already have, but I think a lot more people are figuring out that buying a card is the best way to invest in a player's success. You know, a lot of people, there's gamblers, you know, they gamble on games, you know, they play fantasy football, and I've done all of those things too. I'm not huge into gambling, but I do play fantasy football and have done for years. But buying a card, you know, is buying a piece of that player's success. Now, Patrick Mahomes has what, one agent, maybe one lawyer, you know, maybe a team of lawyers, but one agent, maybe one publicist. So the chances of, you know, Max becoming Patrick Mahomes' publicist, you know, is pretty slim right now. But he can share in Mr. Mahomes' success by buying his cards, collecting his cards, watching him perform, cheering him on when he wins the eventual next Super Bowl and MVP, and then Max can, you know, have a piece of that success. And I think that's what people have figured out about cards that maybe weren't previously into it, or maybe were into it as a kid and are seeing it as the, you know, that investment potential at this point. So I see great things for the market, you know, going forward.
Yeah, and you make a great point, Rex, is with a particular player in whatever sport, you mentioned Mahomes, but even in baseball, I do what, you know, prospecting, where I'll try to get a guy who's in single A or even double A, you know, single double A, that's 2-3, maybe even more years away from getting their first shot at the big leagues. And when you guess right, and sometimes I do, there's, you know, whatever, you know, it's kind of sounds kind of corny, but that the pat on the back you give yourself, hey, I guess right on this particular young man, and Now it's worth a lot more than what I have into it. Sometimes you're wrong, and that's the beauty. You learn from those, and that's the fun of it. I mean, if everything was a hit, really, it takes sort of the fun out of it, and values also would go down as well. And so it's those stories and those angles, and it gives, you know, I always say this. I was a sports kid first before I got into cards. Cards, I think we're seeing, maybe not in Max and Owen's cases, but I think we're seeing kids now kind of get into cards because of the dollar signs, where I got into the cards because I liked the Yankees and the Mets and the New York Rangers and and the teams where I grew up. And we're seeing sort of a change, but I think there's exceptions. You know, I think there's kids that just, hey, I play baseball. Hey, I play basketball. I watch it on TV. This guy's my favorite player. I love him for this reason. And I think we're seeing a sort of a 50-50 between that and the dollar signs. And there's nothing wrong with either one. I've always said that, hobby as you like. But for me, when I hear kids getting into it because, hey, I play baseball, basketball, football, hockey, or this is my favorite player, so I want to get some of his stuff. That's, you know, I have a sentimental because that's kind of how I got my start. But
we're a sports family, and that is, you know, really where it all started for us. I mean, the boys play baseball, football, and basketball. I've coached them, you know, in Little League all the way through. I'm assistant coach with the high school team now, football. So yeah, awesome. we're really a sports, you know, family. And so this is a natural fit for us.
Yeah. And you enjoy it more. And I think you'll appreciate the accomplishments of the players on the field and your card accomplishments off as well.
Agreed.
So
I've had this card in my hand for a while now, and I've just been itching to show you it. I know you're a big Jackie Robinson fan.
I am, man.
You invested into an autograph game used bat. Like,
shares it,
right?
Yep, I did. It's fractional shares. I don't know what you know. Some people like those, some people don't. It's probably as close to having a Jackie Robinson autograph bat as I'm realistically going to get. And one of the other things with that bat, I know you got something to show, but 2% of the money's raised in that fractional share offering went to the Jackie Robinson Foundation. So it has a charitable aspect as well. And if you know anything about me, that's very near and dear to my heart. But go ahead, Mac.
You've seen the back on Instagram, but I want to show you the front. It's a 1948 Leaf Jackie Robinson.
It's your rendition.
Oh, my God, man. Well, listen, I can't – wow. I don't get speechless too often, if you heard me. Some people wish I probably got speechless a little bit more than I do, but I want to thank you. That's, again, the 1948 Leaf is a card I don't own. It's funny, Max. One of the people ask me sometimes in private messages or emails, you know, do I have any, like, card story regrets? And so I'm going to take – beautiful work, by the way, on that, and your time, and I appreciate that. That means tremendous. You really hit me in the feels, as the kids say. But, you know, I get asked a lot of times, you know, if I had any regrets, and I don't own the 48 Leaf, and that's widely considered his big rookie card. It's went up. It's incredibly valued now. And when I was younger, I had a couple opportunities to buy it at a far lesser price than we see today. And I didn't more than once. And I kicked myself now thinking, man, what, you know, and back then I just said, oh, I'll get it next year. Or I'll get it. You know, it'll be available. I'm going in a different direction. And I didn't pull the trigger on the purchase, and I kicked myself. And so I don't have that card. And now it's really, you know, it's going to be a huge decision if I usually don't have to ask my wife when I buy cards. Like, that's kind of, I have my own sort of business money with Newman Sports Cards. That kind of purchase would be like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. You know, and so I don't know if it's
our card.
So I don't know if I'm ever going to, you know, it's going to be, I don't know if I'll ever own it. But that card you made, which beautiful work, by the way, I know people listen to this on audio. I'll post it on my social media. So if you're hearing this and you can't see it, check out my social medias. It'll definitely be on there for you to see. That card's going to go, you can't see it, but right here in front of me, I have kind of a wall of like a tiered stand of cards, and that's going to go. One of those cards is coming off, and that'll go on there. And every day I'll see it. And maybe, you know, I'll be honest with you, it might be the closest I get to a 48 leaf. And I got to be honest with you, the fact that you took the time and you drew that and colored it is more into that card than something that came off even just the printing press. And so I can't tell you, Max, I thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I really do appreciate that. And that's the stuff, you know, that's what's beautiful about the hobby here is those kind of things there. And, you know, I've had stuff like that done before, and it doesn't matter how many times it happens. It's still incredible. And I can't say thank you enough.
The whole inspiration for it, I think you've heard of it. I think everyone's here heard of it. It's Project 2020.
Yep.
Everyone's heard about it. That's
what
started for me on that type of stuff.
Now, you know, even the artwork side, you know, maybe we'll be looking at Max Gotch's, you know, Project 2041. You know what I mean? You never know. If you like to draw, like my son is actually a very good artist. And so he does a little, you know, not in just kind of his own thing and gives it to people, but. You know, that's a talent. My dad's an artist. I can't draw a stick figure to save my life. So that gene skipped me. I went to my son. But if you have that talent, whatever your talent is, business, Owen, and or whatever, you know, do it. And don't let anyone tell you can't or, you know, you'll never make it. Because you will if you believe them. You know, if you enjoy whatever you do, do it because, you know, and enjoy being a kid. It goes quick. And what you guys are doing, like I said, you know, the store together like that, fathers and sons, it's fun to do a card store, period. But to get to do that, you guys getting to do that together as a family, it's awesome. And yeah. I wish you continued success. And you know what? I don't know how often we're going to do this, you know, the shop showcase, but no matter how many times we do it, the sports card shop in New Buffalo, Michigan will always be the answer to that trivia question. Who was the first one that started that segment off? And you guys are it. And they never can take that away from you. So
we're honored, John.
Well, guys, I got to thank you for giving the show some time. I love the layout of the store. It's crisp. It's clean. I hope someday if I'm ever getting that area and I like to travel, I can get to see all that in person. But anyone listening, if you're in, whether you're traveling in or you're nearby, it's definitely worth the trip. Check this place out. Great stuff. Great story with Max Owen and Rex Gotcha, their sports card shop at MoCo. And guys, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll see you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, folks, sort of a different episode for Hobby Quick Hits, but really enjoyed having that great conversation with Rex, Max, and Owen. Refreshing to see a family enjoying the hobby together on a personal side and a business side. What those kids are going to learn in that store, life lessons, business lessons, everything across the board. You know, there's not everything you can get in the four walls of a school all the time. And so they're going to get that additional knowledge and insight that some others aren't privy to. And they're going to be all the more better, I believe, for. This is a segment, we're going to try to do every so often. I don't have a set schedule. Maybe, you know, once a month, once every month and a half, highlight a card store, again, very important to me who comes from a card store background. I got my start doing shows at 15. And then I worked in a card store at 13, 14 years old, and it really got that ball rolling. I've said this numerous times. If it wasn't for working in that card store, I don't know if I'd still be in the hobby here in 2020. And that set the tone early, and here I am. And so card stores are so important. We're seeing a lot more, being launched, and a comeback is in play, and very important, and something I'm happy to see. And so I hope you enjoyed this show. I'd love some feedback. Let me know what you thought of this format, having people on and highlighting, in this case, card stores. And so let us know what you think and what you may want to see in the future. Speaking of card stores, our website for sportscardnation.net, sportscardnation.net, has formed a LCS page, a card store directory. So if you're listening to this and you have a brick and mortar store, or you know someone who does, and you want to see, you want your store listed on the LCS directory, or you want your favorite store listed on the LCS directory, it's free, no charge. Let us know that information. MoCo's listed there. You just heard from them. But if you have a store and you want to be listed on the LCS directory on our podcast website, let us know. It's absolutely no charge, and get you a little more exposure, and we're glad to put you on there. If you're a card store and you want to be part of a segment like this where we talk about your place in the hobby and your store, reach out to us as well, and we can probably make that happen. So with that being said, we're going to wrap this special episode up, and we'll see you next week on Hobby Quick Hits. Take care.